did indeed have a live show. As planned. Thoughts on Gawker? I mean, there's no winners there, you know? Gawker.com, if not the company, has been the type of company that just kind of will gleefully be shitty. And, you know, and Hulk Hogan is a scumbag racist. You know? It's... I've not been following it all super closely. I just don't think there'll be a lot of fallout from this. Like, the argument that this is somehow, like, a freedom of the press, you know, that this is on freedom of speech, and, you know, the public's right to know, and all that sort of stuff. Like, I don't know that I buy it in that specific case, you know? With what they ran, and, you know, it's, you know... Very conflicted feelings. It's one of those, with the great power comes great responsibility sort of moments, right? It's like, yeah, freedom of the press, absolutely. But like, hey, that's a very serious thing. Don't fuck it up. Especially don't fuck it up for everybody. With a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, there was the stuff, that blackmail case or whatever. They ran the story, and then it got pulled by management, and it's just the... Gawker's a mess, you know? And there are good people that are caught up in that mess. A lot, you know, a handful of people that I know to be good people and pretty damn good at their jobs... that are in various spots around that company, and, you know, it sucks for them to have, like, this kind of shit creep into their existence and force them to, you know, have to make some hard decisions or have decisions made for them. And, some people are like, oh, that's the end of Gawker. Like, no, they took on a minority investor back in January, to kind of fund growth, they said, but also to potentially shore up the company in the event that this lawsuit goes the way it goes, or the way it went. And the company is Columbus Nova, which is the same, like, VC firm or whatever they are, that has a hand in Daybreak, the ex-SOE company. So, you know, Kotaku has an investor that... owns a, you know, that has a stake in a video game company, and also someone who's at Columbus Nova owns Harmonix, like bought Harmonix from Viacom. But you know, whatever. That neither here nor there. Point being that, you know, they took steps to try to ensure their continued existence. And what this means long term. You know, a lot of those sites are big enough to where, you know, if things got dire, the thing you would do is split up the company and sell off chunks of it, right? Because you wouldn't be able to sell the whole company. Well, you know, or you would sell the whole company to someone else who would pick it up for its value plus its debt. You know, you'd be taking on a lot of debt with a lawsuit now. Though on appeal, you know, the idea that they'd pay this much money, I don't know that I'd buy that. It'll probably get knocked down. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things that this is the beginning of the process, right? And if anything does happen to the company at large, it would be that sort of thing. It would be like, well, you know, like we have to sell these, like, you know, actually large web properties piecemeal to, you know, or hey, to keep Gawker, the company, running, we sold Deadspin and Jalopnik. No, what is the car site? What are their, is it, are they Jalopnik? Anyway, whatever. You know, they could sell off a handful of the sites if they needed to. They could shut down some of the smaller, less profitable sites. They could, you know, if things got really dire, you take Kotaku and sell it off to keep the whole solvent. But Kotaku is one of the larger pieces of that company. So without that, then I don't know that without that and with, you know, whatever's about to happen to Gawker from a, just a direction standpoint, like, you know, what do you do as a company? Do you, like, okay, well, you know, here, you know, and you saw some of that with the story that management pulled and stuff like that about, like, hey, well, what is Gawker, .com? What does the site report? What doesn't it report? Like, you know, they tried to make that change partially because they had this Hulk Hogan lawsuit hanging over their head, I'm guessing. But, you know, like, then the workers unionized, and that's super weird. You know, it's a fucking mess, is what it is. But, you know, people that are like, oh, I guess that's it for Gawker. Like, no, I mean, you know, the company may have to make some changes at some point. But, you know, they could find someone who would buy most of those brands if they really wanted to. Most of those properties, most of those sites. Like, if you wanted a big video game news site, which maybe you don't anymore, it's 2016, but, you know, like, that's, you know, that's a much more viable and interesting and lively operation than, you know, a lot of the other video game websites out there. There are things you could do if you owned Kotaku. You know, if you bought it separately from the rest of that mess and did stuff with it, you know, you wouldn't make a lot of changes. I can think of some changes I would make if I owned it, but, you know, that's, didn't Steven Totillo work on Hogan Knows Best? He did, in fact, which is another weird but probably not relevant wrinkle to all of this. You know, they've got some reporters that are good at knowing people and getting things, you know, like, and getting those scoops. That's the business they're in. And, you know, obviously that's going to ruffle feathers because they're reporting on things that companies don't want reported on, which, or, you know, they don't do it all the time, but they do it here and there. And, you know, that's obviously, any industry doesn't especially like that. Fitting in a weird way that just today they made Sony's life real interesting, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know. People, like, eager to dance on the grave of that website, I think, are going to be in for a big fucking disappointment, honestly. Like, that's, that website ain't going away. You know, Kotaku is big enough. And I suspect lean enough in terms of number of people and how they pay their people and stuff like that. Like, I would not be shocked if that was a fairly profitable arm of the network. So, you know, someone would buy that and keep running it, you know? If things got absolutely dire and that had to happen, that would happen. It's not like they just close up shop and go, well, there was some value here, but, well, guess it's done now. Like, no, you punch out and sell it. It's... Or the whole company gets sold, you know, and kept together. You know, there's a zillion different scenarios. Or maybe, you know, the minority investor that they took on is... Maybe that's enough to handle this, and they just keep going as is. Like, it, you know, it's this doesn't seem like a massive deal. It's certainly not good for them, but hey. The PS4.5, yeah, you know, it's... feel like it wasn't that long ago that I was saying maybe don't buy an Xbox One. Now I guess I'm going to say, hey, maybe don't buy a console right now. Until everyone figures out what the fuck is going on. That's, you know, who knows? You know, that's the problem with, you know, the information that's out there feels like half of a story, if that, or a quarter of a story, you know, like, who knows what a new upgraded PlayStation 4 would even be, and what impact it would have on games, and if they really are doing something massive, or, you know, like, there's... just seems like the sort of thing where when that happens you kind of have to get out there with something, and they're like, you know, they're going to say, hey, we don't comment on rumors and speculation. That's how it goes. But you gotta, I mean, next week they should just fucking say, hey, here's what we're thinking. And like, the Phil Spencer stuff with the Xbox One is weird, because, like, he kind of responded to some of the hand-wringing that went on after the spring showcase, and, you know, it seemed like, I haven't gone and listened to it, but I guess he was on with Major Nelson, and they were talking about some of this stuff, and it seemed like he was kind of walking it back a little bit, and saying, like, hey, you know, but walking it back in a way that means, like, hey, I'm not gonna sell an Xbox that you can just open up and swap parts out on your own. That's not a console. But at the same time, you know, I have to imagine that everyone's just looking at the way phones are sold and looking at their position in terms of, hey, both consoles are relatively weak compared to, you know, where the PC is at. You could build a PC that beats a console power-wise for not a ton of money. Yeah, obviously you go top of the line, that gets more expensive, but it's sort of a different thing, you know? And, you know, if VR is going to be a big deal, the processing power required to make all that go, and, you know, like these are potential concerns down the line. I just think, you know, it's they're in a hard situation. I think everyone is in a hard situation with that stuff, and in terms of, you know, what do you do to help ease these issues sooner rather than later for the console? How do you do it without totally burning your existing user base? Can you do it without burning your entire user base? Totally backpedaled, sounded more hypothetical, future perspective. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see. They had to have known, with him saying what he said, that it would have been, you know, because it was this half-finished thought, the stuff that he said. And that just, again, it's a situation that leaves people to speculate, and leaves people in a situation where they're like, well, I'm definitely not going to buy one of your consoles until you fucking tell me what the fuck you mean by this, because if I buy this thing, and then this Christmas, or next Christmas, you put out something better for the same exact price, that's bad. It's real bad. You know, and this stuff is risky for the console manufacturers. Just to have this information floating around right now, half-cocked, is rough fucking stuff. If you're trying to sell, if you're still out there trying to sell consoles. For as much as people can be scared of owning a PC, because they just are not computer people, and there are definitely people that are like that, it's never been easier. It's not to say it's perfect and the easiest thing in the world, but building a PC, surprisingly easy. Upgrading a PC, surprisingly easy. Compared to how it used to be, that's, you know. But, you know, every time something, you know, with something like this out there floating around, you're basically, like, the people that would be on the fence about things, and the people that might not have considered a PC, you're, like, giving them a lot of ammunition to just go, like, well, if you're going to go to this model that we, you know, that everyone is speculating about and try to sell me a new console every 2 years, at some point it's cheaper to just buy a PC that you can upgrade piecemeal. You know, the vast majority of the games appear there. I should probably do the math on that, but that's got to be true. You know, Microsoft's going to start bringing all its fucking first-party stuff to PC, right? I mean, that seems to be exactly what's heading. It seems to be the, you know, with Gears and some of the other stuff that's, you know, that's coming. Killer Instinct. Quantum Break. You know, you have to imagine that the next Halo is on the PC at this point, right? Where it gets eaten alive, because compared to PC shooters, I don't know, Halo really stands out, but, you know, they gotta do something. You know, Sony's first party is not so strong that you're like, man, I gotta get a PlayStation 4. Like, there are a handful of games that you're gonna feel strongly about. Some great games. Bloodborne. And Bloodborne. You can't play Yakuza 5 on a PC. Yeah, but you know what? If people go in this direction, you will be able to play Yakuza 5 on a PC. Because it's not like Sega doesn't put games on the PC. So, you know, you're opening this door and giving people, like, you're giving them time to think about what they actually want to be doing with video games. And time for them to ask themselves, like, how serious am I about video games really? You know, because if people that are used to having the newest, latest console and then sticking that out for a generation. At some point, it's like, hey, what if you had the newest, latest, and you could upgrade it, so it could kind of always be the newest, latest, or, you know, close to it, a generation back to save a little money. And go to the PC. You know, learning that stuff is not impossible. It, you know, Windows is not difficult to use. There are some arcane corners of it, I will grant you, but... And even learning how to fucking yank a card out of a PC and put it in a new one is, again, not that hard. I know people are scared of it, and, you know, they're scared of it the same way I'm scared of soldering things, you know? They're just like, I don't know, I'll break everything. Like, this. You're giving them the opportunity to consider it one more time. And that's what you don't want if you're a console manufacturer. In this day and age. But we don't know the whole story on Sony's stuff. You know, we don't know the whole story on how the Xbox One stuff manifests. So it's the sort of thing where, you know, like, they could announce whatever their plans end up being, and maybe it's not even... Maybe it doesn't even matter. You know, for existing owners of the console. Like, maybe it actually doesn't change things in a meaningful way. Or maybe it's a huge change that leaves existing owners in the dust. You know, we just don't know. But that's the point, is we just don't know. So, as much as I would recommend people, like, avoid the doomsday scenarios that you immediately want to go to when you hear this stuff, I would also say, like, use your head, be cautious, and until this stuff gets cleared up, I just don't think I would buy a console right now. And that's gotta be, this has to be rough as fuck for people who, like, just bought a console. Got to be a shitty feeling, like this uncertainty, like, man, I just fucking went and bought one of these, and, you know, obviously, like, you know, there's always a price cut around the corner, right? Thought I saw something today that, you know, there are Xbox One's out there for $300 right now, and, you know, hey, but it's another thing when, you know, you buy something that's 2 years old in a space that usually has consoles that last longer than 2 years. There's a sinking feeling associated with that. So, you know, it's... That's rough stuff. Boy, everyone sure moved on from the fake NX controller pretty fast, huh? With this stuff getting out there, extra buried that shit. Man, you know, video games are weird. The video game business is nuts right now. It's like, it's all over the place. It's a ton of small teams making a ton of smaller games. And they're all VR, you know? And because it's easy to get funding for a VR game right now, because there's VC everywhere, there's venture capital all over the place. There's you know, there's money for the taking if you're making a compelling looking VR pitch right now. So everyone's out there trying to get their share of it while it's hot. And the tech works, and the tech is crazy impressive, and it's awesome. Xbox's VR strategy, HoloLens is not VR. Well, HoloLens is a self-contained thing. It is not a peripheral. You know, the HoloLens runs Windows 10. So it's not even a tethered experience. It's not even something you would necessarily hook up to an Xbox One. Unless it was streaming, but that'd be, you know, it's a very different thing. I think their VR strategy, I mean, well, whatever. They partnered with Oculus to put an Xbox One controller in with the Oculus Rift. And that's part of Microsoft's increased strategy of caring about the PC as a gaming platform. But in terms of, like, a console VR experience, like, they're not, you know, they're not doing it. Or if they are, they're not talking about it. That's a scenario where you could see an upgraded Xbox factoring in. Like, hey, we upgraded the Xbox to make it something that can now work with the Oculus Rift. And as they start to bring the Windows 10 store and Xbox stores together later this year, you know, maybe the potential for those kind of cross-compatible applications grows. But, you know, I don't know, at the same time, Oculus has its own store. They want to, maybe they put its own store. Maybe they have a separate Oculus store on the Xbox. Like Android or something. So I installed another store to my store. I don't know. There's a lot of fucking weird directions things could go in. People that are smarter than I am are figuring out those problems. Or not, scarily enough, not figuring out those problems. Just hoping for the best, which certainly happens. Next leak is insane because people can't instantly discredit it. I mean, some people can at this point, but yeah. But that's the thing, you can look at and go like, well, I mean, since people found the, like, you know, where the fake screenshot, like from some Unreal Engine demo, got mapped onto that fake screen. But the thing there is, the patent for the NX, or the patent for the, like, you know, flat surface screen, the thing, they probably tend to file that with a shape that is not the real shape of the thing they're making to not give away details on what they're making. You know, the weird football shape banana, whatever you want to call it, like, that's in the patent for a reason, you know, because they know people will eventually see it. Like, okay, well, we don't want to just put our real thing in here, but we'll put enough of the details that it will do in here so we can get the patent we need, but it's not going to, you know, the diagrams, the sketches are not going to reflect the thing. So when the thing came out, when they post that and it just looked exactly like that thing, that's a huge red flag. You're like, no, that's not. That's not the thing. Especially if you take into account the notion, the fairly widespread notion, that this is also meant to be used on a television. At some point, you are limited to a 16:9 form factor. You're not limited, but, you know, like, you are going to build things that conform to that standard, because that's the experience you're building. So we'll see. You know, the NX stuff will be exciting to see, whatever form it ends up taking. But yeah, you know, it's... that's just the sort of thing you look at and go like, no, that's, you know. Because I think the thing they're making will have buttons. Call me crazy. But the touchscreen button thing, you know, if it's going to be a thing that you use on television, you need to have a controller that you can use by feel. And that doesn't happen. You know, even haptic feedback is not going to make those things feel like buttons. Maybe some part of that technology, that screen technology, ends up making its way into something like this. But, you know, generally speaking, if you accept the notion that this is an all-in-one device that works as a handheld and as a TV device, which, again, is not a confirmed thing, but seems to be pretty likely, would not use a banana-shaped screen. I'm starting to reach a point where I'm more interested in VR games that use a standard controller. Partially because I think those will be more viable and you know, more predictable motion and or more predictable movement and control than the motion controller stuff. I guess I'm worried that like a lot of the motion controller stuff might just come off as like the PlayStation Move lineup or, you know, the Wii games you didn't want to play. And that stuff tracks a lot better, and VR really does make the motion control stuff make sense in a way that it maybe didn't in a lot of other cases. You know, it certainly did for Wii Sports. You know, there were quality motion-controlled experiences over the last decade, but... But at the same time, I think that there's something I can appreciate about playing traditional video games in a new way, in virtual reality. And, you know, the Eve Valkyries of the world, the cockpit-based games, driving games, and stuff like that. But, you know, that it really does, quite literally, lend another dimension to it. I think that stuff is really cool. Really fucking cool, in fact. And I think the motion stuff will get there, but, you know, and it'll, you know, there will be experiences, I think, even at launch this year that will be cool motion controller experiences, but then you start to get into cases like, well, and now I need more space because I'm standing up, and now I need more space because I'm walking around, or, you know, stuff like that, but like, Super Hypercube, I think, is super fucking fun. And you use a regular controller, and you're, you know, it's like a puzzle game. You're just rotating a cube like you were playing, you know, Tetris Sphere, or, is it Blockout? Is that the other 3D Tetris top-down game? Except you're kind of sending the cubes down through these holes. If you look for Super Hypercube online, there's actually a build of it for the PC from 2008. That is, you know, it's the same concept, but presented very differently, you know, visually and stuff. And I think it had stereoscopic 3D and had a motion component to it, but I don't know that it required it. But you can find video footage of the original, like that 2008 prototype that Kokoromi made. And it's still cool, you know, it's still just conceptually a cool fucking game. And playing it in VR gives them the ability to make it trippy as fuck. And also, you know, it lends it a capability of, like, you really get a good view of your cubes to rotate them. And you peek around them to see the hole that's coming your way. And you have to rotate it so that your shape fits through the hole just so. Which is very sexy, but also awesome. It's a fun fucking puzzle game. That's just a fun thing. Even without VR, that's still a sound concept that is a playable thing and is fun. You know, VR just lends it an additional layer. And so those are the sorts of experiences that I think, or the sorts of games that interest me the most. Where you're just like, no, this is a video game. This isn't a tech demo that's been blown out to a full thing. This doesn't look like a, you know, first-gen PlayStation Move game for PS3. You know, it's not office chairs rolling through city streets. It's like fun once. Like, it's a repeatable thing that you might want to do for a while. And those are the things that I guess, you know, I'd be worried that would be in short supply this year. But, you know, there's stuff. You know, you got Elite Dangerous and Project Cars on Oculus. You know, some of the stuff. Yeah, you know, we'll see, I guess, right? It's like, Oculus has, what, 30 games, right? And stuff that I didn't read, like, you know, I heard someone say that Chronos was, like, a cool fucking game. It was just a, you know, a video game-ass video game. Hacking and slashing. That just happens to be in VR, and that adds a layer to it. But, I, you know, who knows? Everything just feels so tentative right now. That's the thing, you know? Like, the consoles, because of the leaks, because of the stuff that Microsoft said, like, that all feels very shaky again, where it totally didn't before. or felt like, you know, hey, these things are maybe not as powerful as you'd like. But it's a console, and people want them, and people are making games for them because it's a mass market device, and hey, let's go. And now it's like, well, wait. You're shaking that up. You're shaking that up, and it's a risk, right? It's a risk. But, you know, the new Nintendo 3DS is what we're talking about in a lot of ways, too. You know, there are games out there that'll run at a better frame rate. If you have the new Nintendo 3DS. But there aren't a ton of them, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you probably don't need to get one of these things, but it's better. You know, if you're buying one now, get one of those. And I guess the other, like, thing that I really think is important about the VR headsets is how rapidly will they iterate on them and release new models? How long will the first generation Oculus Rift be out there? How long until they say, hey, here's the Rift 2? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? And how dramatic are those changes, and how rapid is that pace? Will the people... I mean, hey, you know, early adopters, you're signing up to get fucked over someday. But you also get the thing first, and it's awesome. Having shit is cool when it's cool shit. But that's an expensive route to go if you want to stay current all the time, right? So, like, what, you know? Like, I'm sure the Vive is fucking... awesome, right? Used it. I was like, this fucking works. This looks great. Cool as fuck. Like, is it the most practical thing to set up in my home? Not at all. But it's fucking rad. But if I go out there and spend fucking $800 on one of those things, what's the path? What's the next phase of development for that thing look like? And how much better does it get next time out? Because if it's stuff like screen resolution, you can live, you know? Like, you know, hey, the screens are better on the new one, but of course they are, and all the games still work here, and that's fine. But if it becomes like, hey, we've discovered a new way to handle head tracking that is far more efficient and maybe even takes up less space in terms of just like, well, you know, putting up the sensors and all this, and it's way better. Oh my god, look at the first one. That shit is like the Stone Age. It makes the first Vive compared to the second Vive is like looking at Oculus DK1. You might as well be playing fucking tactile fucking nightmare virtuality style out there compared to what we're doing now. That's the old shit, you know. That's bad. Or it's bad out of the gate. I mean, you know, like, assuming this gains acceptance, then eventually, yeah, you hit that stride, you start making your moves. But, you know, when this stuff is all so tentative, it almost seems like they would have to work on a bunch of stuff and hold up on it. Just be like, hey, you know, this is all great, and we can't wait to get it out here, but if we release it right now, it will crush the existing user base if we go back and ask them to pony up another $800. Or, hey, we're going to take all these original vibes and we're going to donate them to a school. And as a result, send us your vibe and $200 and we'll send you the new one. Or, you know, or like the upgrade path needs to make sense for people. Or maybe it doesn't. It's not like technology has fucking given a fuck about that before. I mean, you know, phones are a different situation. With the subsidies, with the, you know, carrier subsidies and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, the carrier subsidies are going away. You know? And that's looked weird to me. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know what I'll do for my next phone. And I kind of don't care. Because they're all the fucking same. But maybe the iPhone 7 will be worth owning? I don't know. I guess at this point, I kind of just want a bigger phone. At this point, I want, like, the 7 Plus when those things come out. Phones and game consoles and VR headsets are all completely different things with completely different use cases. And I think they come out of different parts of a consumer's budget, like the money they move around in their mind. You know, the phone has become a vital tether to the world, especially for people that don't get into the PC stuff, you know, that might not, you know, maybe they have a laptop. They probably have a laptop. Some crappy netbook or something, right? But maybe not. A lot of people that don't. They probably just use their phone to use the internet. Period. Unless they're somewhere that, you know, has a computer. Which is everywhere, is the truth. But, you know, those people are, you know, their phone is more vital to them than it is to some of the people. They would maybe be more inclined to get the newest, latest because they spend so much time on it. And I spend a lot of time on my phone. But all the time I spend on my phone is doing dumb shit. Shit you don't need to upgrade your phone for. But I would like a bigger screen. And, you know, the cameras keep getting better, and that's cool for me. Because sometimes I need to shoot videos or something on my phone. Sometimes a mailbag comes in. Grocery hauls to film. You know, stuff you need to do on your phone. Yeah, so yeah, it's an exciting time, but there are things that just leave me puzzled right now. Like, things where you hear half the story, or, you know, hear the leaked part, and then go like, there's got to be a missing piece here, because it can't be as simple as this, because this seems like a bad move for them to make. Unless they've got some, it's one of the things where it's like, okay, lay out, you know, you want to hear the company line, like, lay out your grand plan for this. I'm going to sit here with my arms folded, pitch me on this console upgrade path. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What's the vision here? What's the real? Let's hear it. And then maybe you'll come away from there going like, nope, you guys are crazy. Or man will be like, oh, okay, no, that, all right, I get it. Yep, that solves a real problem and manages to not actually fuck over your existing customers. Okay, no, yep, sure. We don't know. We just don't know. So don't buy a console until we know. Or buy one, but know full well that you may be facing the idea of a better version of the same console coming your way. You know, next year, this year, who knows? There was a lot of talk about Microsoft doing this with the Xbox 360. It sounded like they had spent a significant amount of time investigating the idea of upgrading that machine. So far as like, you know, hey, here are games that run better, higher resolution, you know, like better resolution, better frame rate, like a straight up power upgrade for the 360. And, you know, obviously they didn't do that, but it sure sounded like there was a lot of loose talk going around in the last, maybe the year before they announced the Xbox One, maybe even the year before that, I forget, about like this idea of a 0.5 style upgrade of like, hey, here's, let's squeeze a few more years out of this thing, it's going so well. But, you know, that would have been, maybe the time they spent investigating that explains how the Xbox One came together. You hear a lot of stories about how Sony maybe caught them off guard with its timetable and forced them to spin up the Xbox One business a little bit faster than they had wanted to. Business. It'd be scary as hell to be a big decision maker in a situation like that, where you're the guy, right? Or you're the head of the team that pulls the trigger on the strategy, right? You know, it's like, hey, we got all these different strategies we could go with. What do you want to do, boss? Like, I don't know. Let's talk it out. Like, all right, should we upgrade the 360? Should we do this? Like, let's launch our next console in 2015. What do you say? 2014, maybe. Hey, boss, Sony just announced their shit and they're going for it. Oh, fuck. All right, well, call the third parties, tell them to get fucking moving on that shit. Like, we called them, they're not even sure that anyone wants consoles anymore. They like phones? Well, shit. All right. And the strategy guys and all the third parties are like, we're not even sure if people want consoles. Let's investigate phone games and spin our wheels for a bit here on this new console stuff while we run some projections. Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. People want consoles. We don't have games. We're like, oh shit. Let's up-res some old games while we get fucked. Spin up the new game machine. And spin up the up-resed old game machine as well while we get this going. Scary, right? Could you imagine? Having to build these strategies and then watching them get fucking burned to the ground by changes you didn't anticipate. Like, alright, well, fuck, go with it. Alright, we gotta figure this out on the fly. Call the Unreal guys, see what they got. Let's get going. We need an engine. Now. And then the Unreal guys are busy getting caught off guard by Unity and the rise of smaller games that want cheaper engines. A constant, swirling knife fight. No one comes out unscathed. People might come out having made some of the right calls, but no one will make all of the right calls. there's that wrestling-like danger of the business becoming more fascinating and entertaining than the games themselves. In some cases. All right. I'm home. It's the weekend. Those are both great things. I'll see you guys.